Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Adikadadhar Prabhuji for enlightening us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam 4.11.26 and 27 verses. Hare Krishna Adikadadhar Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you so much for your valuable assistance, Prabhuji. Please take over the call, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Mataji. Mataji, can you please tell your good name?
Prabhuji, this is Vinaya.
Hare Krishna, Vinaya Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. I'm sorry, can someone help me? Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Nama Krishna Vishnupa. Sorry?
Shri Radha
Krishna Padan. Yes. Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshakarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvise Namaha. Pancha Tatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I would like to offer my respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of all of you, all the devotees who are listening, Dasosmi. And I would also like to beg each and every one of you to kindly shower your permission and your blessings and good wishes upon me so that by the power of your blessings, I may become empowered for the next few minutes to speak some Harikatha for the pleasure of Sri Hari, Sri Guru, and all of you Vaishnavas. Thank you very much. I'm always your servant. Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, entitled Creation of the Fourth Order, and chapter number 11, where Swayambhu Manu asks Dhruv Maharaj to stop fighting. And we are reading two verses today, verse number 26 and verse number 27. So Dhruv Maharaj just lost his stepbrother Uttam and his stepmother Suruchi. Brother was killed by Yaksha, and his mother Suruchi went to the forest to find him, and she got burnt in a forest fire, and both of them died in this way. So Dhruv Maharaj was very angry because of his Kshatriya spirit. To do justice, he attacked the Yakshas. He killed many, many thousands of Yakshas, and he was continuing to massacre them out of anger. And now his grandfather, Dhruv Maharaj's father, was Maharaj Uttanapad. Uttanapad Maharaj's father was Maharaj Swayambhu Manu. So Swayambhu Manu is instructing Dhruva Maharaj, asking him to stop fighting and giving him many, many valuable lessons. And we will be reading two of those verses today. These are instructions of Sarvabhauma of Swayambhu Manu to Dhruva Maharaj. So verse number 26. एष भूतानि भूतात्मा भूतेशो भूतभावनः स्वशक्त्या मायया युक्तः सृजत् अति च पाति च. Translation and purport by our most beloved, His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the super soul of all living entities. He is the controller and maintainer of everyone. Through the agency of his external energy, he creates, maintains, and annihilates everyone. Purport: There are two kinds of energies in the matter of creation. The Lord creates this material world through his external material energy, whereas the spiritual world is a manifestation of his internal energy. He is always associated with the internal energy, but he is always aloof from the material energy. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, the Lord says, Matsthani sarva bhutani nachaham tesh avasthitah. All living entities are living on me or on my energy, but I am not everywhere. He is personally always situated in the spiritual world. In the material world also, wherever the Supreme Lord is personally present, is to be understood as being the spiritual world. For example, the Lord is worshipped in the temple by pure devotees. The temple is therefore to be understood as being the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. So before we move to the next verse, we will analyze this verse and Srila Prabhupada's purport. So just see, As all of you know, Dhruva Maharaj is already a self-realized Mahabhagwat. Dhruva Maharaj is already a pure devotee. Dhruva Maharaj's guru is Narad Muni. Narad Muni is a Mahajan. Narad Muni gave him a process of sadhana bhakti, which Dhruva Maharaj perfectly carried out, and he had Sakshat Darshan of Krishna. Krishna revealed to him his eternal constitutional position as an eternal associate, a Hari Parshad. So Dhruva Maharaj knew his eternal service as a servant of Krishna. He knew his eternal abode was Dhruva Lok, where the Shweta Dweep island is present, where Lord Narayan eternally resides. It is a spiritual planet within this material world. Dhruva Maharaj had actually seen Krishna. He had actually seen Lord Narayan. He had seen his form. He had spoken with Lord Narayan. He had offered prayers to Lord Narayan. Lord Narayan had blessed him. He had touched his Panchajanya Kongshal Shankha to the head of Dhruva Maharaj. He had predicted Dhruva Maharaj's future. He had given Dhruva Maharaj his service, that for so many thousands of years you rule as the king, and then you come to the spiritual world in Dhruva Lok and stay with me eternally on the Vaikuntha planet called Dhruva Lok. So Dhruva Maharaj had Atma Sakshatkar. He was self-realized. He had seen Krishna. He had directly been instructed by Krishna. He had been instructed by Narada Muni. He was a perfected living entity. He was a pure devotee. But what do we see in these verses? We see that Dhruva Maharaj was acting out of anger, which is one of the six anarthas. Kam, lust, krodh, anger, greed, lobh. Then there is pride, there is envy, and there is moha, illusion, which is born of false ego. So all these, kama, krodh, lobh, moha, matsar, dabha, all these six anarthas, they are on a platform of anartha nivritti, which is a madhyam platform, beginning of madhyam stage. And Dhruva Maharaj is a uttam adhikari. He is a self-realized pure devotee. So how come he is acting under the influence of anger? So much so that Swayambhuva Manu, who is another Mahajan, another 12 Mahajans like Narad Muni, he has to come and he has to instruct Dhruva Maharaj about this basic philosophy. My dear friends, if you analyze the verses that we are reading today, this is basic philosophy. The Lord is the creator, He is the maintainer, He is the destroyer. You know, the Lord is in the spiritual world, internal energy, external energy. This is basic philosophy. This is Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita. This is Bhakti Shastri material. And here is Dhruva Maharaj, Uttam Adhikari, is being told the very basic philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. Why? Why? This is what we need to think about, my dear friends. Dhruva Maharaj, it's not like Swayambhuva Manu is speaking this basic philosophy to Dhruva Maharaj when he was angry with his stepmother before he met Narad Muni. No. He is already world famous Mahabhagwat devotee. And he is having to hear this basic philosophy. So our acharyas explain this phenomena. This is called Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Priya Bhakta Dware अन्य शिक्षा कर रहे यही प्रकार है। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड प्रिय भक्त द्वारे थ्रू हिज डियर इंटीमेट डिवोटीज अन्येर शिक्षा कर रहे ही टीचेस द रेस्ट ऑफ द वर्ल्ड यही प्रकार है। इन दिस वे बाय यूजिंग हिज प्रिय भक्त व्हाट इज द मीनिंग ऑफ दिस दैट कृष्णा यूजेस हिज डियर डिवोटीज टू टीच द रेस्ट ऑफ द वर्ल्ड वैल्यूएबल लेसन्स। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु प्रिय भक्त द्वारे अन्येर शिक्षा कर रहे यह ही प्रकार है। Krishna is using Dhruva Maharaj as a puppet to teach all of us valuable lessons. It is not that Arjun had become bewildered or Parikshit Maharaj, who could stay without food and water for 7 days and seven nights, became suddenly thirsty within few hours in the forest. It is not that Draupadi Devi had to go through that ordeal in the Kuru Sabha because of some personal bad karma. It is not that the gopis had to be deprived of Krishna's association because of some aparadha. It is not like that. Krishna uses these great devotees to teach us lessons. It is not that Prahlad Maharaj was going through so much torture, so much assault because of his own karma. No. Krishna uses his dear devotees to teach us lessons. So what does Krishna want us to learn from this prasanga, from this episode of Srimad Bhagavatam? Very important lesson. It is that we may be very advanced devotees, like Dhruv Maharaj was, Mahabhagwat. So similarly, we may be initiated, we may be twice initiated, we may be Brahmins, we may be chanting Gayatri Mantra, or we may be thrice initiated, we may have taken Sannyas Diksha. Whoever we are, we may be 10 years into Krishna consciousness, we may be 20 years, we may be 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Whoever we are, it is possible that sometimes we need counseling. Sometimes we need our Shiksha Guru to teach us valuable lessons and to bring us on the right path. And we should have the humility to hear good instructions when good instructions are spoken to us. It is not that Dhruv Maharaj told Swayambhuva Manu, why are you instructing me? You are not my spiritual authority. My guru is Narad Muni. Narad Muni is not saying anything. Who are you to say something to me? Or Swayambhuva Manu, you are telling me? Have you had darshan of Krishna? Have you spoken to Krishna? Has Krishna touched you on the head with his Panchajanya Shankha? Do you know what your eternal constitutional position is? Do you know what your eternal dham is, where you serve Krishna? I know all of this. I am spiritually more advanced than you. Krishna came answering my prayers, not yours. Why are you instructing me? No. Dhruv Maharaj had the fortitude, the humility and the genuineness of heart to accept good instructions from Swayambhuva Manu in the right spirit, constructive feedback. This is a very valuable lesson that we can learn, that even an advanced devotee like Dhruv Maharaj had to be counseled. He needed a mentor. He needed a Shiksha Guru in the form of Swayambhuva Manu. Swayambhuva Manu, another important lesson is, Swayambhuva Manu has come to instruct. It is not that Daksha sorry, it is not that Kuver, who is the leader of the Yakshas, came to instruct. Kuver also is very advanced spiritually. He is also a puppet in the hands of Krishna. Does so many wonderful services for Krishna. So Kuver could have come and instructed Dhruva, but Swayambhuva Manu comes. Let us analyze this. Very important lesson for us. Why Kuver did not come to instruct Dhruva Maharaj? There will be many reasons, but one important reason that is instructive for us is because Kuver was not the right person at that time. Because apparently, externally, Kuver had a vested interest because the Yakshas belonged to Kuver and Dhruva Maharaj was killing the Yakshas. So if Kuver would have come forward and started instructing Dhruva Maharaj about how to carry out his duty properly, it is possible that Kuver could have been misunderstood. That, array, Kuver is instructing, maybe because he has a vested interest here. He wants to protect his own people. So just see, Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us so many valuable lessons. Kuver doesn't come, but Swayambhuva Manu comes. Because Swayambhuva Manu is not interested in the Yakshas. He has no vested interest. He has no ulterior motive. He is beyond suspicion. He has nothing to gain or lose. He is just coming out of compassion. On Dhruv and compassion on the Yakshas who are being slaughtered. He is a neutral party. This is very important, my dear friend. This is very important. Let us stop here and analyze this. So many times in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which Srila Prabhupada has established for us to come, do Hari Bhajan and make advancement. So many devotees are around us. And sometimes we notice certain discrepancy in the behavior, in the dealings of a particular devotee. We notice something that the devotee can do better. We notice something that the devotee can improve. We notice something that the devotee is not doing properly. And based on what we have read, what we have heard, and based on what we are practicing in our life, we know that this devotee can do better. Let me instruct him or her. My dear friends, we need to first ask ourselves, am I the right person to instruct this devotee? How will this devotee who is receiving this instruction from me, this constructive criticism from me, this feedback from me, how will this devotee take it? Will he or she think that I have some ulterior motive? Will he or she think that I have some vested interest? Am I the right person to speak these instructions? Am I the designated spiritual authority for this person? We have to consider these questions very deeply, my dear friends, before we go and we speak. Because we may not be the right person to speak those instructions. The instructions may be good, our intention may be good, but are we the right person? Are we the designated spiritual authority for that devotee? If not, then we should see if it is possible to get the spiritual authority to speak. The Shiksha Guru or a senior devotee who has that relationship. So this is very important. And if we really, really, really strip ourselves naked and look deep inside our heart, it is possible that we are trying to satisfy a little bit of our own personal ego in giving that instruction to that devotee. Because it's a subtle sense gratification. Ah, to be the one to point out what that devotee needs to improve on, what that devotee can do better. Why? Because by instructing that devotee, we automatically, in our subtle mind, take a spiritually superior position. I am in a spiritually superior position than you. That is why I am able to instruct you. I am more realized than you. I am purer than you. Very subtly, those feelings can come. I have a right to instruct you. So from this episode of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can all learn that before we correct another devotee, we should ask ourselves, am I the right person? And is this the right time? Is this the right time? Now, Swayambhuva Manu doesn't come right in the beginning of the war and tell this philosophy to Dhruva Maharaj. Arey, this whole world is created by Krishna. He's always in control. Not a blade of grass can move. Krishna had already told you that your brother is going to be killed. Krishna had already told you that your stepmother Suruchi is going to die in a forest fire. You already knew this. Krishna had already planned it. Well, Brahmaji writes the date of death for all of us when he creates us. So don't do all this. Please accept it as Krishna's doing. Accept Krishna's plan. Stop it. No. Swayambhuva Manu doesn't come right in the beginning of the war. He comes after Dhruv Maharaj has satisfied some of his Kshatriya tendency to seek revenge, to do justice for the death of his brother. So again, we have to think, is this the right time? Sometimes a devotee may be in a fit of anger. Sometimes a devotee may be going through a lot of churning. And we like to give some good instructions, but are the instructions really welcome at that particular point of time? Is that the right time? Am I the right person? These things we have to ask ourselves. That is what we can learn from this episode. One time, a devotee who was middle-aged, around late 40s, suddenly died. And I had gone for the funeral rites of this devotee. Very nice devotee. He was initiated. Very nice devotee. Was contributing a lot to the local ISKCON temple. Suddenly died. There was no cause. He just left his body. And in the funeral, a senior devotee asked another senior devotee who was going to speak on the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, that how na jayate mriyate va kadache, the soul never takes birth, never dies, so don't lament. Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukkha da agama payino anityas kamstatakshaswa bharata. Tolerate. Please speak this philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. The family is crying. They really need to hear this philosophy. So that senior devotee who was asked to speak like this, he told that another devotee who was asking him to speak like this, that no, Prabhu, this is not the right time. They are heartbroken. This Prabhuji was still relatively young. He had so many years of service ahead of him. It's an untimely death. Everybody is heartbroken. Everybody is shocked by his sudden demise. No, we have to comfort them. This is not exactly the right time. They know this philosophy. This is not the right time to remind them. Now, he has died today. In the morning, he died. Now is the time to mourn. Now is the time to cry. First, let's cry. Then we can discuss the philosophy. This is not the right time. So, my dear friends, if we just follow these two principles, am I the right person and is this the right time? Do I have the right motivation? Am I doing it in the right way? If these few questions we ask ourselves before we correct another devotee, it will be very nice. It will save a lot of heartache. It will prevent a lot of problems between devotees. There are so many examples. Once I entered our ISKCON Atlanta temple, it was just the darshan had just closed. Darshan had just closed. And I offered, of course, Srila Prabhupada is always giving darshan. So I offered my obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, said the Srila Prabhupada Pranati Mantra, Then I turned towards the deities, that darshan was closed, the gate was closed, curtain was closed. And I offered Ashtanga Dandavat to Shri Radha Madan Mohan, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, and Shri Gaur Nitai. And as soon as I was standing up, one well-wishing, beloved devotee friend of mine was standing right there next to me. As soon as I was standing up after offering the obeisances, he very lovingly instructed me, Prabhu, you should not offer obeisances when the darshan is closed, because Krishna is resting now. If you offer him obeisances, he has to wake up to accept your obeisances and to bless you. So don't do this, Prabhu, please. Next time when the darshan is closed, don't offer obeisances to Krishna. So, very nice bhav, that you don't want to disturb Krishna. Very nice bhav. And I didn't say anything. I said, thank you, Prabhu. I just folded my hands and said, thank you very much, Prabhuji, for this important lesson. Thank you. I will remember it next time. Now, at the same time, another bhav is, does Krishna really sleep? In the sense, yes, we are putting him to sleep. Yes. But again, we are coming to Krishna's temple and not offering obeisances is just so unnatural. Krishna, you are resting. You don't get up, but I want to offer you my love. I want to offer you my respects. Ridavak vapurvir vidadhan namaste. I want to offer you my namaskar. For my sake, for my satisfaction. So, that is also one bhav. So, next time when I enter the temple and the darshan is closed, will I offer obeisances? I don't know. If the devotee is present, maybe I will offer obeisances in my mind, just so that that devotee doesn't feel agitated. Otherwise, he will feel that I am not following his instructions. I am certainly not in a position to instruct him because he is senior to me. Although he is a friend, a very dear friend. But this is one. So there are different bhavs, different moods of worshipping Krishna. If you ask me, I feel definitely, as soon as you enter, you should fall down like a rod. Whether darshan is closed or darshan is open, Krishna is there. Krishna is there. And Jagannath is there on the altar. Jagannath never sleeps. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never sleeps. If you look at his Ashtakalya Leela, he's just doing all night kirtan. He never sleeps. Radha Madan Mohan, yes, they take rest. But Gaur Nitai, Jagannath, they never sleep. Jagannath doesn't even have eyelids to close his eyes. So please, look at me. Kripa Kataksha, look at me. Your servant of the servant of a servant has come. Please tell me how I can serve you. I have come to offer my love, to offer my heart, to offer my respects to you. Here I am, bowing down. So both the bhavs are right, both the feelings are right, both the emotions are right. So if we are given a feedback, we should accept it humbly, not agitate another devotee. And if we are giving the feedback, we should think whether this is the right time, whether I am the right person, and whether what I am telling is right. I am 100% sure about this or not, like that. So, there's another incident where once a devotee was visiting, a Prabhupada's disciple was visiting a temple, ISKCON temple, and he started singing Samsara Dava Mangalarti in not the morning tune. Prabhupada had instructed that he should sing it in the morning tune, morning melody, and he started singing it in some other tune. So the Prabhupada disciple who had established this temple, who was the leader of this congregation, he told the visiting devotee, just during the first verse only, when he was singing Samsara Dava Nalalida Loka, first verse only he went and whispered in his ear, when the response was going on, when the devotees were responding, he whispered in his ear, Prabhuji, please sing the right tune, the morning melody, like Srila Prabhupada instructed, morning melody, please. This is Mangalarti. So the devotee immediately, he said, what is the Mangalarti melody, morning melody? He didn't know. So then this devotee whispered, Samsaradavanalalidhaloka. Like that, he whispered the morning melody, and then this devotee, he tried to sing it in the morning tune. Then he was living in the temple for almost a week. So 4 or 5 days down the road, again he got the opportunity. He was given the service of leading Mangalarti. And again he started singing it in the, not the morning melody, like Srila Prabhupada had instructed all of us. Because there are different ragas for different times of the day. And whenever possible, we should, for Krishna's pleasure, because Krishna likes it like that, he has created all this music and ragas. For his pleasure, we should sing in the particular melody, if possible. Ayendra Prabhu used to do that. When he would do kirtan at night, he would sing the appropriate ragas based on what Krishna would like to hear at that time of the day. Afternoon, he would sing different set of melodies. He was very personalized. But of course, everybody doesn't have the kind of musical abilities as Shripada Ayendra Prabhu. But if we have, like Prabhupada, in this particular case, he definitely instructed that in the morning during Brahma Murta, when we do Mangalarti, Samsara Dava, we should sing it in a particular morning melody, which is followed all over ISKCON. So again, 4 or 5 days later, when this devotee was given the opportunity to lead Mangalarti, he again started singing it in some different tune only. And this temple leader was again there. So second time, he did not go and instruct. First time he went and corrected him. But when he saw that second time also he is doing it, you know, maybe for whatever reason, maybe he doesn't know the morning melody, or maybe he cannot sing the morning melody, or maybe he doesn't want to accept that instruction. Who knows? But he's a guest, he's Atithi. You know, he is living. We have to. So first time, the temple leader, he corrected him. But after a few days, again, when second time also he was doing the same thing, then out of etiquette, not to embarrass him, second time, you know, he did not say anything. He just kept, let him sing in the whatever tune he wanted. So this is Vaishnava Sadachar. We can learn so much from this simple pastime of Swayambhu Manu speaking basic Bhakti Shastri philosophy to Mahabhagwat Dhruva Maharaj. So was it the right time, right person, right way, right motive, vested interest, ulterior motive? All these things you have to consider, my dear friends. And for that, we discussed these few pastimes from our contemporary world. Now we'll go to verse number 27. Verse number 27.
Tam eva mrityum amritam tata daivam sarvatmanopehi jagat parayanam yasmai balim vishvasrijo haranti gavo yatha vainasi damayantrita.
Translation. My dear boy Dhruva, please surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate goal of the progress of the world. Everyone, including the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, is working under his control, just as a bull prompted by a rope in its nose is controlled by its owner. This is very important verse. I'll read it again. My dear boy Dhruv, please surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate goal of progress of this world. Everyone, including the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, is working under his control, just as a bull prompted by a rope in its nose is controlled by its owner. Purport. The material disease is to declare independence from the supreme controller. Factually, our material existence begins when we forget the supreme controller and wish to lord it over material nature. Everyone in the material world is trying his best to become the supreme controller, individually, nationally, socially, and in many other ways. Dhruva Maharaj was advised to stop fighting by his grandfather, who was concerned that Dhruva was adhering to a personal ambition to fight to annihilate the whole race of Yakshas. In this verse, therefore, Swayambhuva Manu seeks to eradicate the last tinge of false ambition in Dhruva by explaining the position of the Supreme Controller. The words Mrityum, Amritam, death and immortality are significant. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, I am ultimate death who takes away everything from the demons. The demons' business is to continually struggle for existence as lords over material nature. The demons repeatedly meet death after death and create a network of involvement in the material world. The Lord is death for the demons, but for devotees, he is Amrita, eternal life. Devotees who render continuous service to the Lord have already attained immortality. For whatever they are doing in this life, they will continue to do it in the next. They will simply change their material bodies for spiritual bodies. Unlike the demons, they no longer have to change material bodies. The Lord, therefore, is simultaneously death and immortality. He is death for demons and immortality for devotees. He is the ultimate goal of everyone because he is the cause of all causes. Dhruva Maharaj was advised to surrender unto him in all respects without keeping any personal ambition. One may put forward the argument, why are the demigods worshipped? The answer is given here, that demigods are worshipped by less intelligent men. The demigods themselves accept sacrifices for the ultimate satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. So here again, several instructions. The first one is that the Lord controls all of us, including Lord Brahma. Just like a bull is tied by a rope, is controlled by the rope. Sometimes devotees ask the question, what is karma and what is destiny? Everything is done by the Supreme Lord. The 9/11 Twin Tower attack, ultimately Krishna only does everything. It's okay. All the terrorist attacks, all the riots, all the rapes, all the murders, all the burglaries, everything that is happening around the world, ultimately nothing happens without Krishna's permission. Krishna is only sanctioning, na? So why are we getting worked up? All this is all Maya. This whole world is just, it's like a dream, you know. Let's not take it too seriously. Ultimately, everything Krishna is doing. That is one wrong philosophy. Another extreme of the philosophy, absolutely opposite to this, is man is the creator of his own destiny. Everything is in our hands. We are in control. We have to make it. We have to do it. We are the achievers. We have to work hard and we can do everything. We can achieve the world. We can achieve the moon. Aham mameti. Prakriti kriyamanani guda karmani sarvasha. Ahankara vimudhatma karta aham iti manyate. Consider manyate karta aham. I am the doer. That is another extreme. So both these philosophies are wrong. Both these philosophies are wrong. It is not total free will and it is not total destiny. It is combination of both. And this is super excellently explained by one of the 12 Mahajans, Srila Sarva, Srila Swayambhuva Manu, to Dhruva Maharaj in the period of Srimad Bhagavatam, directly in the verse. Clearly mentioned, Gavaha word is there. Gavo yatha, vai nasi dam. Dama means rope. Damodar, whose udar was tied by the rope, dam. So dam is rope in the last line of this verse. Nasi is nose. And yatha means just as. Gavo is bull. So just like a bull is controlled by a dam in the nasi, you do yantrita means control. Niyantran means to control. So yantrita means to control. Just like a cattle, just like a bull is controlled by a rope around its nose. You know, in the bullock cart, they put the rope around the nose and you pull the left side rope, the bull will turn, the bail gadi, the bullock cart will turn towards the left. You pull it on the right, it will go. You pull it little hard, it will go fast. Like that, you hit him with a stick and it will stop, like that. So, just like a bull is controlled by a rope, Similarly, there is both destiny and there is free will. Let us understand this. So, for example, a bull is tied by a rope to a pole. Within the circumference that the rope allows. Suppose the rope is 10 feet long. The bull has the free will to perform its activities within the 10 feet perimeter that the rope allows. So there is a pole which is fixed to the ground, and to that pole a rope is tied, and that rope is tied to the bull. The rope's length is 10 feet. So within the 10 feet perimeter around that pole, the bull has the free will to do whatever it wants. It can pass stool, it can eat grass, it can jump, it can sleep, it can stand, it can make noises. It can even mate with a cow if a cow is supplied within that 10 feet perimeter. Within the 10 feet perimeter, the cow is free to do whatever it wants. But the bull is free, but the bull cannot go beyond 10 feet. The rope of destiny is only 10 feet long. So within that 10 feet boundary, the bull has the free will to do whatever it wants, but not beyond. If the bull says, I want to fly like a bird, no, you cannot do that. If the bull says, I want to go to the pasturing grounds of Alabama and eat grass there, I don't want to stay in Atlanta. No, that's not possible. You're tied to the pole. So there is both. There is free will and there is destiny. The bull having the ability to do whatever it wants within the 10 feet perimeter around the pole is free will. The bull not being able to go beyond 10 feet is destiny. What this means is, what Swayambhu Manu is saying is, both are there. There is free will and there is a destiny, prarabdha also. So, for example, if my height is 5 feet 7 inches, I cannot change that. I cannot say that I want to be 6 feet 7 inches. I want to be a basketball player. Well, in this body, in this birth, in this life, it may not be possible. It is not possible. But I want to eat rasgulla. I'm going to make a rasgulla and eat. Now, that may be possible. That is my free will. So some things are possible, some things are not possible. Some things are predestined, but the free will always is there. What we do today using our free will create our destiny in the future. But we already have some baggage of previous karma, which determines our current destiny. So both are interplaying. Kim karmeti, kim akarmeti, kaviyohi muhyate. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that what is exactly karma, what is a karma, you know, what is action, what is reaction? These things are very difficult even for a kavi to understand. Kavayohi muhyate. Even a kavi, a learned person, also becomes muhyate, becomes bewildered, becomes mohit, becomes bewildered. Very difficult to understand. So when we look at a person, whether this person got a fracture in a road accident because of karma, or was it his free will of being distracted on the iPhone while driving, hard to tell for us. Therefore, we should always give sympathy. Therefore, that devotee said that at the funeral ceremony of this devotee, I'm not going to speak philosophy. We should just mourn. So both the things are there. We cannot judge devotees that, oh, this happened to you because of your bad karma. You have eaten meat for so many years. Therefore, now you are also suffering from cancer. You are also going to die. No, that is very heartless to think like that. If we judge devotees like this, when they are going through so much pain and turmoil, then we are taking the position of Paramatma, we are taking the position of Krishna. Because only Krishna can judge. We cannot judge, my dear friends. So we should never, ever, ever think this devotee is suffering. Because he did this bad karma, that's why he's suffering. It is not for us to think like that. You suffer, and that is enough for me to sympathize with you. You are suffering, that is enough for me to pray for you. I don't need to know what your race is, what your religion is, where you were born, what your karma is, how many years you have been initiated, how many rounds you chant, how many days you have missed your japa. how many offenses you have committed, how many sins you have committed. No, that is not for me to judge. That is Krishna's domain. I am not so arrogant to try to take Krishna's position and judge you. No. I will pray for you. I am your well-wisher. I will serve you. I am your friend. Because both the things are constantly interplaying with each other. Destiny and free will. Both are there. We should never think that what a devotee is going through is because of his or her karma. That we will never know. Only Krishna knows that. So we should be well-wishing friends. We should sympathize when somebody is suffering. Empathize and sympathize. So that is one lesson that we can learn from this example of bull and rope. Very beautifully explains this very difficult to understand concept of what is destiny and what is free will. And another thing that we understand here is from the translation, from the purport about Dhruva Maharaj and Swayambhuva Manu, and how Swayambhuva Manu is trying to eradicate the last tinge of false ambition in Dhruv. One very, very instructive lesson that we can learn from this again is Krishna will purify us, my dear friends. Please listen carefully. Krishna will purify us. And there is no limit to how much Krishna can purify us. I repeat, my dear friends, please listen carefully. Krishna, the nature of Krishna, Jivera Swarup hai Krishna ra Nityadas. Our nature, original nature, is to be Krishna's servant. And what is Krishna's nature, my dear friends? One of the beautiful aspects of Krishna's nature is that Krishna purifies his devotees. That is just how Krishna is. He's so merciful, he's so loving, he's so caring, he's so kind that he purifies his devotees. And there is no limit to how much Krishna can purify us. Always remember this in your heart, my dear friends. No matter who we are, Krishna will find a way to purify us. And that is for our good. Krishna is taking us deeper and deeper into ecstasy. Krishna is taking us deeper and deeper into Krishna consciousness. Because the beautiful pearls in the ocean are not floating on the surface. They are deep, 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 deep down at the bottom of the ocean. Literally thousands and thousands and thousands of feet underwater. Not floating on the surface. But we, as sadhakas in Krishna consciousness, we are floating in the surface, splashing water. No. We will collect nothing. We'll collect nothing, just some fish. But what is the value of collecting fish? We are not meat eaters, we are not fish eaters. But if we find a beautiful pearl from the bottom of the ocean, Nasagra Mukta Dyuti Deepitasse Vichitra Ratna Bharana Shriyadye Vrinde Namaste Charanaravindam. In the current verse, we read the word Nasa. Nas means, Nasika means nose. Nasagra means the tip of the nose. Agra means the tip. Nasagra Mukta Diti Dipitas. Beautiful pearl. Vrinda Devi or even Krishna. They wear at the tip of their nose. Very beautiful. The nose ring. Let's not compare it to the mundane nose rings, mundane beauty that we are used to seeing in this material world. This is the spiritual world. Krishna has a spiritual body. Very beautiful. You cannot imagine. When Krishna wears that Nasagra Mukta, that beautiful pearl at the tip of his nose, he looks very beautiful. Very beautiful. Sucharu Vaktra Mandanam. Very beautiful Krishna looks. So if you find a beautiful pearl, we can make a pearl necklace for Krishna and offer it to Radha Krishna. Or we can offer it to Krishna in his nose ring to put it at the tip of his beautiful nose. So if we find a pearl, we can do so much with it. What can we do with a fish that we find in the superficial ocean? You take a net, you take a fishing rod, at the surface of the ocean, few feet deep, 5 feet, 10 feet deep in the ocean, you'll catch some fish. But if you go deep, right at the bottom of the ocean, you'll find a pearl, which is offerable to Krishna, which Krishna loves, which Krishna will accept. Precious Ratna, if you offer with love. So similarly, Krishna likes to take us deep in the ocean of bhakti, not floating at the surface. Practicing Krishna consciousness for formality, superficially, without really understanding what we are doing, just standing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But with full realization of the Mahamantra, understanding that Krishna is not different from the holy name, that Krishna is dancing on our tongue, that is going deep. And Krishna likes to take his devotees deep. Just see, my dear friends, Dhruva Maharaj is such a great devotee, but Krishna is taking him deeper through the instructions of Swayambhuva Manu. Taking him deeper. Chitraketu Maharaj was self-realized also, but through the curse of Mother Parvati, taking Chitraketu Maharaj even deeper in Krishna consciousness. Uddhav, he was a great devotee. Great, great devotee. Sadhubhakta Chudamani, Uddhav is described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Very, very great devotee. Bhakta Shiromani in Dwarka. Priya Narma Sakha. Priya Sakha of Krishna. Dear friend of Krishna. But Krishna wanted to purify him. Just see, even Uddhav was purified by Krishna. I will take Uddhav deeper in Krishna consciousness. Uddhav is a very advanced devotee. But I will take him deeper. I will give him Vraja Bhakti. Hare Krishna. I will send him to Vraja. I will send him to Vrindavan. Let him associate with devotees who are far more advanced than him. Krishna's plan to purify. He purifies everyone. He even purifies the gopis by living the Rasleela. Increasing their utkantha for him. Increasing their eagerness for him. Increasing their love for him. Krishna, he purifies everyone. Even the gopis are not exempt. Even Draupadi was not exempt. Even Arjun was not exempt on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Oh, how Arjun cried when Abhimanyu died. How he cried. He had just heard Bhagavad Gita. But he became bewildered when Abhimanyu died. Became angry. Became revengeful. Just like our Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj became angry. We are seeing that. Similarly, when Abhimanyu was killed, he also became angry. Arjun became angry as a father. Rightly so. Cried. And Prabhupada writes, this is natural. And Krishna also cried. Because Abhimanyu was his own student. When Arjun was in Vanvas, he and Draupadi, they decided to send Subhadra and Abhimanyu to Dwarka so that Krishna could take care of his sister Subhadra. She would not have to go through the hard forest life. And Abhimanyu will grow up in Dwarka, in the comfort of Dwarka. And Krishna himself taught Abhimanyu how to fight. Abhimanyu was very dear to Krishna. And when Abhimanyu was killed, even Krishna cried. That Krishna, one of whose opulences is renunciation, that Krishna who had spoken Bhagavad Gita philosophy, he cried. It is natural. It is the heart of a Vaishnava to cry. And it is the heart of, it is the love of Krishna to cry for his devotees. But only for a short period of time. Immediately, Krishna recovered and he told Arjun, my dear Arjun, please don't lament. Abhimanyu has gone back to the spiritual world. He has gone to that world where only pure devotees dwell. He has gone to that world where I eternally reside. Abhimanyu, your dear son, has gone to that world from where you never return. Yad gatvana nivartante tad dham paramam mama. This instruction in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna repeats to Arjun. And then Arjun is a little pacified. So what we can learn from this incidence of Swayambhuva Manu instructing the pure devotee Dhruva Maharaj, that is, the instruction is that no matter, my dear friends, what level of spiritual realization we have reached, we may be Kanishtha Adhikari, we may be Madhyam Adhikari, we may be Uttam Adhikari, no matter who we are, whether we are Dhruv, whether we are Arjun, whether we are Draupadi, whether we are Uddhav, or whether we are the gopis of Vrindavan, Krishna, our beloved Krishna, will find a way to purify us and take us deeper and deeper and deeper in the ocean of Bhakti Rasa. Because Bhakti is like a bottomless, shoreless ocean. Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu. It is a fathomless ocean. There is no limit how deep we can go. Krishna is taking the gopis deeper and deeper at every moment. When there is separation, their deep longing, Krishna darshana lalasa, keeps increasing in vipralabha, in separation. And when there is union, their love increases. Their love increases because now they want to reciprocate with their prananath, Krishna. They want to serve Krishna. They want to do so much for Krishna. But then, in that bliss of union, there is the fear of impending separation. And again their utkantha increases, their eagerness increases. And then there is separation. And oh, how they become mad in separation from Krishna. But then there is again union. In this way, the waves of ecstasy keep splashing in the spiritual world. And a devotee keeps getting drenched more and more and more in Krishna Leela Amrit, in the nectar of Krishna Leela. So we have to keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. And if only we are sincere, like Dhruv, like Arjun, like the gopis, like Uddhav, Krishna will take us on a journey deeper and deeper and deeper into the mysteries of His love. And these are some of the thoughts I wanted to share with all of you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna. It is 8:30. If someone has any questions or comments, we can have that for the next few minutes. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, very, very beautiful class, Prabhu, and very, very nice instructions, and very beautiful class, Prabhu. And the way you are speaking was so nice, Prabhu. And the topic you are telling about, like, you know, when to instruct and we are not the right person to instruct, all that points are really very eye-opening class, Prabhu, today. I'm so thankful to you. Very fortunate to be in the call today, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, can you please tell us your good name, please?
Prabhuji, my name is Vinaya Prabhu. Please accept my humble obeisances, Prabhu.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Vinaya Mataji. Thank you for your kind words. Thank you for your kind words. It was a very eye-opening course for me also. I forgot the Mangalacharan. And all of you merciful devotees reminded me of the Mangalacharan. So very humbling experience for me also. Very, very humbling experience. So see how Krishna, Krishna took away my pride. That so much pride this rascal Adi Gadadhar Das has, that he can recite so many verses from Mangalacharan. Let me humble him in the presence of all these wonderful devotees, so he can understand that he is completely dependent on the mercy of the Vaishnavas. So thank you, dear devotees, for correcting me and reminding me of the Mangalacharan. Very, very humbling experience for me also, Mataji. Thank you. Yes, very, very instructive. Prasanga from Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna.
Dandat Pram Prabhuji, always to Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev. Beautiful class, Prabhuji. I had a question. You had mentioned that at the point of death, even Krishna cried when Abhimanyu was killed. Now, the question is, as we are told that the point of death to think about Krishna and the family members or the people who are around him to chant the Maha Mantra during at that point of time. But definitely emotions do come in, right? So, I mean, it is very human to get emotional at that point of time too, correct? So, I'm just wondering that what does Krishna have to say? Because at that point of time, example, if the soul leaves also, people will cry and emotions will come out. But at the same time, if that happens, then the person who is dying would also consider that and they can come back to being attached rather than think of Krishna. So it's kind of a dilemma, at least slightly for me to understand this. So could you explain what would be the course of action? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for your very wonderful question. Can you please introduce yourself, Mataji?
You repeat the question or my name?
No, your name, Mataji.
My name. Oh, okay. Palika Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Palika Mataji. Very nice question. So your question has two aspects. One is our actions when a loved one is dying. And second aspect is our actions when the loved one has already departed, has already died. So first aspect, when a loved one is leaving his or her body and we are sitting next to that beloved devotee, your question is, if we start crying, which is natural, our emotions come out, then that devotee who is leaving his or her body will also feel those emotions, will also feel that attachment, and may not be able to think of Krishna, rather may start thinking of the family members, how they are going to deal with this loss, oh, they are going to miss me, I'm going to miss them, and then suddenly we can come down to the material platform. So, this is a very nice question, Mataji. Actually, our relationships, we should not view our relationships as material. For example, if you are my sister and I am dying and Palika Mataji is my sister, my mother is there, my wife is there, my children are there, and I'm dying, and you are all crying. Oh, because, you know, my son, my brother, my husband, my father is dying. Naturally, by looking at your tears, by looking at the sorrow on your face, it is possible that I may feel attached. And I will start remembering, oh, my sister, she had tied me Rakhi for so many years. Oh, my wife, she has served me so nicely. Oh, my mother, she has taken such good care of me. Oh, my children, who will play with them in the evening? Oh, who will get them married? Who will get them educated? All these thoughts can start coming. Have I saved enough money? Who will maintain my family? And suddenly our mind starts going away from Krishna. So certainly this danger is there. And there are few incidents from our contemporary Vaishnava history which help us understand this. Again, Krishna, we should always remember that Krishna uses his dear devotees to teach us valuable lessons. Now please don't take this in the wrong way, my dear friends. Please do not misunderstand this. Don't get any doubts from this, and don't misinterpret it, please. Stoka Krishna Prabhu. He was a very wonderful devotee from Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir in Mumbai, India. And he led a very exemplary life. He became a devotee at a young age. He was a brahmachari at Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir. He was thoroughly trained as a brahmachari. He had very good Vaishnav character. Had done so much service. And then he decided to continue his service. He decided to enter a grahastha ashram and serve as a grahastha. So he got married to a very wonderful Vaishnavi from the congregation. He took up a job in Bhakti Vedanta Hospital as a librarian. Bhakti Vedanta Hospital has that library where the patients, their relatives can come read Srila Prabhupada's books. Doctors, nurses also in their break, they can come and read Prabhupada's books. So the library needs a librarian to maintain the books, to stock them nicely. So he took up a job as a librarian at the library in Bhakti Vedanta Hospital. So very Krishna conscious job. And he was maintaining his family. He had a daughter soon after marriage. And the daughter was only 6 months old when he was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. He had never smoked in his life, but he was diagnosed with lung cancer. What to do? Nachao, nachao, Prabhu, nachao se mate, kaash tera putali yatha, nachao se mate, nachao, nachao, Prabhu, nachao se mate. Make me dance, Srila Prabhupada wrote on Jaladuta. Make me dance the way you want me to dance. I am your Kashthera Putli, I am your Kath Putli, I am your puppet. So yes, sometimes Krishna does this. Young boy just newly married in his late 20s or early 30s, getting stage 4 cancer. And within few weeks, he died. But Krishna tested him in such a way. He was young, he was energetic, he had a nice job, simple job in Bhaktivedanta Hospital, working for devotees in the Association of Devotees, serving humanity by giving them Prabhupada's books, had an exemplary brahmachari life, had a wonderful Vaishnavi wife, had a beautiful newborn daughter, was living in the Association of Devotees, was coming every Sunday to the temple, had an ideal life, could have done so much for this world. Beautiful life. Suddenly everything was taken away by cancer. Everything was taken away by Krishna in the form of cancer. In this purport, today's purport, we read how Krishna is death and immortality both. For the non-devotees, he is death. For the devotees, he is immortality. So Krishna took away everything without any warning in the form of cancer. But when Stoka Krishna Prabhu found out, he called up Radhanath Maharaj. At that time, Radhanath Maharaj in 2005 was in Gita Nagari. He was serving Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And what was Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj having? Also stage 4 cancer, melanoma. So Srila Radhanath Maharaj was consoling so many disciples, so many well-wishers of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj when they were heartbroken. That Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj at the age of 55, when he was a guru, he was traveling, he was writing books, he was inspiring thousands of devotees all over the world, doing so many services for Srila Prabhupada, when Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was at the peak of his career, Krishna was taking away everything in the form of melanoma cancer. And the disciples could not reconcile. They were crying. The well-wishers of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's god brothers, god sisters, they were crying. And Radhanath Maharaj was there in Gitanakri, he was also crying, but he was trying to console Bhakti Tirtha Maharaja's disciples and well-wishers. So emotionally, he was also strained. So much pain, so much churning going on. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj had traveled to 32 countries in the year 2004. 32 countries in 1 year. Preaching, initiating, inspiring thousands of devotees. He was at the peak of his spiritual services. Africa, Europe, Asia, North America, everywhere he was preaching. What a wonderful asset to this world, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And suddenly, Krishna decides to call him back. And here is Radhanath Maharaj, emotionally strained, trying to console so many heartbroken devotees, trying to help them make sense of all this. That how can such a sincere servant of Srila Prabhupada suffer with so much pain, with melanoma cancer sticking out through his skin, melanoma cancer breaking his bones, giving him such severe pain, even slight movement of turning in the bed, just karvat badalne ke liye in the bed, just turning side is so painful, it takes two or three devotees to gently turn him. 15 minutes just to turn side, it was so painful. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was refusing painkillers because they would make him drowsy and then he would not be able to think of Krishna. And the disciples are watching all this. They cannot make sense. How can a person who was dancing in front of Krishna so nicely, Nachao, Nachao, Prabhu, Nachao, Semate, one of the most graceful dancers in this world, has had one of his leg amputated. So much cancer pain, so much bone pain, cancer gone to his liver, lung, everywhere. He's struggling to breathe. How to make sense of all this? And Radhanath Maharaj was trying to help the devotees understand, help them reconcile. Emotionally, he was strained, and tring, tring, his phone rings. And it is Toka Krishna Prabhu. And Radhanath Maharaj thought, oh, Krishna. Maharaj had just heard the news that he has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Lung cancer has gone to his spine. It has broken his spine. His spinal cord has been compressed irreparably. And he has got paraplegia. He has lost all his strength in his legs. Paralyzed because of lung cancer going to the back, going to the spine, breaking the spine and compressing the spinal cord. Permanent paralysis in both his legs. He is bedbound, bedridden. Young boy, just married, new father. As far as we could see, never committed any crime, never committed any sin. Oh Krishna, now he is calling me. Because he has not spoken to Maharaj yet after his diagnosis. This is the first time. So Maharaj had heard through other brahmacharis that this is bad news, that he has been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, he is now paralyzed, it's just the end now. So Maharaj had conveyed his good wishes, his prayers through the devotees, but Stoka Krishna Prabhu had not directly spoken to his spiritual master, Srila Radhanath Maharaj, yet. And now, he had an appointment, and he called, because he was supposed to speak directly with his Gurudev. And his phone is ringing. And here is Maharaj sitting with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and all the disciples who are heartbroken. And now Stoka Krishna Prabhu is calling. And now Maharaj thought he is going to cry. You know, why this is happening to me, Maharaj? What have I done? Who will take care of my wife? Who will take care of my new daughter? And the phone rings and Maharaj answers. And it is Stoka Krishna Prabhu. And he says, my dear Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances. And then Stoka Krishna Prabhu starts crying on the phone. And the first question he asks Maharaj is, Maharaj, why me? Why me? Why is Krishna doing this to me? And Radhanath Maharaj is thinking, oh Krishna, already I am consoling so many devotees. Now how am I going to console Stoka Krishna Prabhu? who is asking me, why is Krishna doing this to me? What am I going to answer to him? And Toka Krishna Prabhu continued, Gurudev, why me? Why me? Why me? Why is Krishna doing this to me? What have I done? What have I done to deserve this? What have I done to deserve this mercy of Krishna? Why is Krishna doing this to me? Why? Why did he allow me to attend so many Mangal Aartis? Why did he allow me to live in the temple as a brahmachari for so many years? Why did he give me such a wonderful devoted Vaishnavi wife? Why did he give me a job in Bhaktivedanta Hospital? Why did he give me so many devotee friends? Why did I go to so many yatras with you, Maharaj? What have I done to deserve all this? And now, even at the time of death, devotees have brought me to from Bhaktivedanta Hospital to Radha Gopinath Mandir, and they said, till you leave your body, you stay here in Radha Gopinath Mandir. Why this mercy, Maharaj? What have I done? Why is Krishna doing this to me? Why me? What have I done to deserve so much mercy? And Maharaj's face lit up. It is not what he was fearing. Sloka Krishna Prabhu was completely in a different mood. He was grateful. He was grateful. And tears of ecstasy started rolling down Radhanath Maharaj's cheeks when he was speaking to Sloka Krishna Prabhu. What consciousness! Instead of asking, why is Krishna doing this to me? Why did he give me cancer? I'm so young. I'm a devotee. I have a family that depends on me. He's saying, why is Krishna giving me so much mercy? He has given me residence in Radha Gopinath. He has given me devotee friends, devotee family, so much Mahaprasad, so many Mangal Aarti, so many Bhagavatam classes, so many yatras, so much Krishna is giving me. Krishna has given me. Why me? That is what he was asking. Now this Stoka Krishna Prabhu, few months later when he was leaving his body in Radha Gopinath temple, in the presence of Radha Gopinath, in the presence of Brajvasis who had come from Barsana, Madan Mohan Prabhu, Narsimha Prabhu, disciples of Srila Ramesh Babaji Maharaj, in the presence of all the brahmacharis, in the presence of all the congregation devotees, in the presence of tumultuous Harinam Sankirtan going on, in the presence of his own spiritual master, when Stoka Krishna Prabhu was leaving his body, Stoka Krishna Prabhu's wife and his newborn daughter, they chose to stay outside the room. Stoka Krishna Prabhu was in a room where he was leaving his body, surrounded by Govind Prabhu, Gaurang Prabhu, Achyutananda Prabhu, Radhanath Maharaj, Brajvasis, all these great, great devotees were there chanting for him, praying for him. Stoka Krishna Prabhu himself was chanting and he was breathing heavily, struggling to breathe. But at that time, prana prayana samai kafa vata pittau kanthavarodhana vidau smaranam kutaste. Kulashekar Maharaj in Mukunda Mala Sotra prays, Krishna Tvadiya Pada Pankaja Panjarantam Admayava Vishatume Manasaraja Hamsa Prana Prayana Samai Kafavata Pittau Kanthavarodhana Vidhau Smaranam Kutaste. At the time of death, when my throat is choked up with Kafavata Pittau, how will I remember you, Krishna? Thinking this, Stoka Krishna Prabhu's Vaishnavi wife decided to leave the room. She and the little baby girl, they were sitting outside and crying. That is a service she did. She told Maharaj, Maharaj, I will not go. I will cry outside. I will chant outside. You take care. And Radhanath Maharaj held Stoka Krishna Prabhu's hand and told him, you don't worry about your family. Don't worry about your wife. Don't worry about your daughter. The entire Radha Gopinath congregation is with them. We will provide for them. They will never lack anything. They will be taken care of. I give you my word. The spiritual master is telling the disciple this on his deathbed. Srila Prabhupada is opening the doors of Goloka Vrindavan for you, Stoka Krishna. Don't hesitate. Walk through that door and go and enter Goloka Vrindavan. Just see. Stoka Krishna Prabhu, grateful. Spiritual master, facilitating the return of the disciple back home, back to Godhead. And wife and daughter, they are facilitating all this, not creating any disturbance, not creating any distraction, any potential risk of distraction. Not wanting to be there at the time of death, very humbly leaving it to the exalted devotees. And she herself, when her dear husband was leaving his body, she sat outside the room near the door and she was crying and chanting. So much we can learn from this. Everybody is doing their part. Stoka Krishna Prabhu is chanting. He is remembering Krishna. All the assembled devotees are helping him remember Krishna. And where whatever potential risk is there of distraction, Stoka Krishna Prabhu's beloved wife, she took the heavy service of love and separation. I will not create any disturbance. I will go out. I will go out and I will cry and chant and pray for you. Let Guru Maharaj handle it. Let your Brahmachari friends handle it. Let the congregation devotees handle it. And the devotees, they reassured Stoka Krishna Prabhu, don't worry. And now you just think of Krishna. Now you just think of Krishna. And similarly, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj also, although he was self-realized, although Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was a self-realized Mahabhagwat, he was Uttam Adhikari, going back home, back to Godhead. In the last days, so many devotees were coming to him and crying, I am not able to follow four regulative principles. I am not able to chant 16 rounds. I have got this problem. I have got that problem. All sorts of problems they were opening up to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Devotees are even coming and telling him intimate problems. I have addiction problem. I have illicit sex problem. I have this problem. I have that problem. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was so empowered. And he was speaking to them with such love and compassion that just few minutes of interaction with him, the devotees would get purified. Gangara parasha hoile paschata pavana darshane pavitra koroi to bargona. Ganga will purify only after doing achaman and having Ganga snan. But darshane pavitra koro ei tomar guna. A great Mahabhagwat like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj purifies just by his darshan. And devotees were coming for his darshan and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was preaching to them, blessing them, and their lives were getting transformed. But then he told Radhanath Maharaj that, Maharaj, I am spending whole day preaching to them on my deathbed. I would really, because when you preach, you have to discriminate. Preaching requires discrimination. Preaching requires, to certain extent, seeing faults. Unless you see fault, how can you give feedback? But this Maharaj said, in my last few days, I don't want to do this. Seeing faults in devotees, pointing out their faults and preaching to them. I just want to think of Krishna. See, Uttamadhikari comes down to the Madhyam platform to preach. But at the time of his passing away, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj wanted to leave from the Uttama platform. So he told Maharaj, so Radhanath Maharaj advised him that, Maharaj, you should stop preaching now. You have preached all your life, 55 years of your life you have given to preaching. Even when you are a small child, you are a Christian evangelical preacher. You are giving radio talks. Then you met Prabhupada. You became preacher of Bhagavad Dharma. And all your life, you have preached the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an instrument of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is Gauravani Pracharine, and you are an instrument of Srila Prabhupada. All over the world you have preached, you have made disciples, you have written books, given classes, danced, led kirtans. inspired congregation so much you have done preaching. But now, you should just remember Krishna and leave the preaching to us. We will preach. We will preach. You just focus on Krishna now. And Bhaktidev Maharaj heard this suggestion from Radhanath Maharaj, did not say anything. After some time, he just said, let me think about it. And next day was Sunday, and Bhakti Tirth Maharaj was giving Sunday feast. And Bhakti Tirth Maharaj announced in that Sunday feast, this is my last Sunday feast. From tomorrow, I will not look at any emails. From tomorrow, I will not receive any visitors. From tomorrow, I will not preach anything. Only those few disciples who are involved in my medical care and my personal care, like bathing me, putting tilak on me, and giving me medicines, my intimate servants, and Srila Radhanath Maharaj. Only these devotees will have access to me. I am entering a state of nirjan bhajan. Hare Krishna. And last few days, he went to his original Uttama Adhikari platform. And he was doing nirjan bhajan. Even Bhakti Vinod Thakur in his last days, nirjan bhajan. What are they trying to teach us? That at the time of death, any potential for distraction, we should eliminate. And we should exclusively remember Krishna. Of course, if we are crying out of concern for devotees, because wife is a devotee, children are a devotee, we are crying for them out of concern, who will take care of them? We should know that Krishna is the maintainer. Krishna Mata Krishna, Pita Krishna Dhana Pran, Nadi Ago Drume, Nityananda Mahajan. We should have faith that Krishna is the Pitahamasya Jagata Mata Dhata Pitamaha Vedyam Pavitram Omkara Riksama Yajurevacha. Krishna is mother, Krishna is father, Krishna is grandparent. We should have faith. And even if we are crying for devotees, because they are devotees, those tears are also spiritual. So that faith we have. But we as devotees, as far as possible, when a devotee is leaving his or her body, we should facilitate hearing and chanting about Krishna and remembering about Krishna. The material problems, there is no end. Who will maintain? Who will take care? There is no end. Material problems will go on as long as we are in the material body. Something is going to be broken in the house. Some finances will be required. Some things will be need to be taken care of. Taxes will have to be filed. Grocery will have to be bought. Things will have to be fixed. There is no end to these things, to these problems. But we have spent our entire lives doing that. At the end, we have to think of Krishna. Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram. So we should facilitate, as far as possible, remembrance of Krishna, and we should remove potential distractions. That is our duty. But once a devotee has left his or her body, then we can cry in separation. Yes, then we can cry. Srila Prabhupada cried when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left, when Ramchandra Khan and Srinivas Acharya left, Narottam Das Thakur cried, Pashane koti bo matha. I want to break my head with a stone. Jayanilo premadhana. He cried in the Viraha Geet. So we can cry. We can cry after the devotee has left his or her body in separation. And that is spiritual. That is our duty. At the same time, we remember the philosophy. So crying, how is it different when a devotee cries after the passing away of a devotee and a person who is not a devotee, they cry? What is the difference? The difference is that, what is the meaning when Krishna says, Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukkhada agama paino nityas tam stitiksha swabharata. What is the meaning of this stitiksha, tolerance? It means that our devotional service is not hampered. It is not that we cry so much that we don't chant our rounds, that we don't offer bhoga to Krishna. Crying will go on, but our service also should go on. Ahaituki apratihata. Apratihata, uninterrupted service has to go on. That is the difference between a devotee's crying and the crying of a non-devotee. A devotee also cries, but the devotional service doesn't stop. Arjun cried when Abhimanyu died, but his fighting did not stop. In fact, he fought the next day with even greater vigor. Took a vow that I will kill Jayadrath before sunset. And he did it. So this is the difference, Mataji, between the ordinary crying and the crying of a Vaishnava. When Ladini Mataji passed away, everybody cried. When Yamuna Mataji passed away, everybody cried. So yes, we cry in separation from devotees. But our devotional service goes on without interruption. That is most important. In fact, our surrender to Krishna, our dependence on Krishna, our prayers to Krishna only increase when we cry. So that is the difference. Does that help, Mataji? Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhuji. It was very, very emotional. Whatever you said, it touched the heart, Prabhuji. I think even you can turn a stone into having some emotions the way you speak. Hopefully, in this stupid head of mine, finally things will enter, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. I don't have any words. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji, for your kind words. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to all the devotees. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, ki adikata dardas, koti koti dhanvat pranam to your seva. Yes, Prabhuji, Loko Krishna, last time we are there. Mataji is maybe pregnant in 7 months and she's sitting outside with us. And all Brahmachari and Maharaj is sitting inside. Prabhuji, we learn such a nice lesson from that Mataji that she's crying little bit and after that she's doing japa attentively and loudly, Mataji, Prabhuji. At that time, I am also there. Prabhuji, it's inspire us that how we have to face out the situation when it's not in our favor, when the family members are not in our favor or kids are not in our favor. How patiently we have to do our japa attentively. I learned lesson that day. Dandavat pranam from that Mataji. Thank you very much for again reminding us. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, every lecture you explain us that how sincerely we have to do our japa attentively and how patiently we have to tolerate the Vaishnava, whether it's non-devotee or devotee. Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, Dandavat pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, Hare Bol.
Thank you very much, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, Dandavat Pranams. Very, very beautiful discussion. And I really like the way you were describing about with the example you were talking about freedom and what is destiny. Very, very nice explanations, Prabhu. Thank you so much for your association. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you very much, Mataji. Jaya Srila Prabhupada.
And with your permission, go ahead, Mataji. Kamadika Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. This is Kamadika Dasi. It's very, very nice, practical instructions and solution you have given. Very, very wonderful. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Kaumodaki Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you very much, Mataji. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Very, very nice, Prabhu. The one word I really like at the end, you are telling whatever things are coming, we have to cry at the same time. We have to do our service. Crying should go on. Services should go on. That point really touched my heart, Prabhu. And very, very beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that kind of pastimes because we get more confidence and more, how to really be at that situations if really when we are facing that kind of things. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Can you please tell your good name?
Prabhuji, my name is Vinaya.
Hare Mataji, three times I asked you.
No problem, Prabhu. So three times we are calling. I feel so happy, Prabhu. I'm so blessed. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you, Vinaya Mataji. Hare Krishna. All glory to Srila
Prabhupada. Hare Krishna Ji, Adikata Dardas Prabhu. With your permission, I add two more points that Ajit Soka Krishna Prabhuji also teach us how we have to prepare ourselves. Last time, so much pain, but still he is just continuing his Japai service. And yes, Ajit Pakkijit Maharaj also teach us same thing, how sincerely we have to do our Japa. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Dhanwad Pranam.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Vrinda Gopika Mataji, for making those points. That's awesome. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Is there anybody else having any more questions or comments for Prabhuji? Okay, if there are no more questions or comments for Prabhuji, I would like to offer my obeisances to the Prabhuji and all the devotees who are assembled on the call. Vancha Kalpataro Bhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhyayeva Chapatitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namahananta Koti Vaishnav Rindaki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai His Grace Adhikadadar Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vinaya Mataji. Thank you, all of you. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri
Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanwad Pranam. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.